Welcome everyone to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, and I almost lost my train of thought as per usual, but anyway, it's been a great weekend of sports. And before we kick off the show with the Super Rugby review, I'd like to big shout out to Green Security, who is sponsoring the show today. They're a local based company based in the Mount Albert Avondale area. Their number is 09 846 7299. Their email address is service@greensecurity.com. Now that is green with an E, security.co.nz. And what a fantastic weekend of rugby. As we all know, AJ's away, but I've got the great pleasure of introducing, you know, a guy who is an award-winning journalist. I've known him over close to 40 years. He is currently a senior sports reporter at TVNZ One Digital Sports, and he has great insight into rugby. Welcome to the show, Patrick McKendry.
Thanks, everyone. It's a great introduction. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know, as we always said, we don't have checks anymore. I was going to say the checks in the mail, but we no longer have to do that, so I can't use that old chestnut. Anyway, what a great weekend of Super Rugby it has been, Pat. Starting off with the Highlanders 35. The Reds 30. Dunedin said goodbye to probably who I believe has probably been their best. The greatest player in their franchise history, and Aaron Smith, but a superb game like that. Billy Harmon, Hugh Renton, Shannon Frizzell, fantastic. You know, Falatau Fakatava, that last minute try, and of course, you know, Harry Wilson for the Reds, really impressed with him, and also Tom Liner. What were some of your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it was a great weekend of rugby all round, mate. Just, I think we've got to touch on the great crush at school, St. Thomas's, beating St. Bede's as well on the 1st of Dean down there.
Well, absolutely. Result. For the McKendry Cup, of course.
We like to celebrate that. And there was a McKendry playing at 10 for St. Thomas's. Flynn, I know his dad.
Is that Ian's son, is it?
Yeah.
Old Enos.
Anyway,
yeah.
that was fantastic. But, I watched the second half of the Highlanders. And what an incredible sort of back and forth second half it was, finishing in that with that try. I mean, it was just almost a perfect way for it to finish, wasn't it? With Talau Fakatava going over in the corner for the winning try, sort of taking up the mantle that Aaron Smith has left. And Smith said a lot of nice things about Talau and how it's his team now, sort of going forward. Given that he's not coming back, he won't play for the Highlanders in Dunedin again. That's his last home game. So. Yeah, fantastic way to kick things off, and brilliant to see the Sunderland get it done over the Reds.
Yeah, because it's really been a hard year for the Highlanders. You know, they've struggled at parts, but it was great to see them, and they've still got a realistic chance of making that eight, Patrick.
Well, they're currently in eight, and I've got a big task this weekend up against the Blues at Eden Park. But you know, it was. Clearly they've struggled, and you can see that even in the game. It was sort of two teams that didn't quite know how to win, I felt, and it was back and forth. But, you know, luckily for them, I guess the Highlanders had the last day.
Absolutely, and of course then we go to the next New Zealand game, which was the Crusaders doing what they usually do, a 42-18 win over the New South Wales Waratahs. A return to Super Rugby for the old man, the oldest player, and 39-year-old John Afoa. I believe a good acquisition for the Crusaders. He gives them that sort of experience. Forget about that age, the guy is still out there and he's still doing it.
He played incredibly. He only arrived, sort of, I think it was on the Thursday. I think he arrived without a pair of boots. He came back from France. I think he was probably hungover when he got on the plane. Just an incredible, quite inspirational story about a guy who's nearly 40. He's been playing in France for a decade and come back and play so well. And it wasn't just the scrummaging, which is basically why he's been picked up by the Crusaders. It was the stuff in open play, the big run he went on, and that pass to Cody Taylor, his front row teammate there. But unfortunately, Cody dropped the ball, but it was just a fantastic sort of a feel-good story and what I think was a really good Crusaders performance. I know that Scott Robertson wasn't that impressed afterwards, or he wasn't that happy, maybe because of the injuries to David Havili, hamstring strain, and I think it was a knee problem for Cullen Grace, which probably took the shine off a wee bit. But I just feel that the Crusaders, again, are looking ominous. They just know how to get it done at this time of year.
They certainly do, and of course over in Fiji there was a lot of hot weather. You wouldn't really call it hot rugby, but a very high scoring game. The Fiji Andruna 47, Moana Pacifica 46. Yeah. Two late tries to probably make it respectable for Moana Pacifica. I have to be quite honest with you, Patrick. I've got some real concerns about Moana Pacifica moving forward. I don't know what your thoughts are. Fiji and Druna, they've still got a chance to make the eight. They've got the Reds at home next week.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it was a spectacle, that's for sure. There wasn't a lot of great defending, but there was a lot of great attacking. I did feel a bit sorry for Moana at the end. Christian Lagiafano, he played pretty well, just missed a conversion, which would have won them the game. And it wasn't a tough, not really a tough conversion either. So unlucky for them. I do feel for them. Obviously, they haven't got a win this season. They've got pretty close. They got really close to the Blues as well at Eden Park, which they would have loved to have won that. But, I agree. I do kind of have a few concerns about their future, especially with Aaron Major moving on. They're about to lose one of their best players, yeah. Levi Almoa, to the Crusaders. And it's not easy getting good quality coaches, especially those, I think. I think it's going to be important for Moana to get a Pacifica coach as well who stands true to their sort of DNA and their purpose for inspiring Pacific Islanders and providing a pathway to professional rugby. So it's not going to be easy. So they just need a bit of luck, I guess. Yeah, you're right. The Drua are still in with a shout for the playoffs. Luckily, they won that. Luckily for them, they won it. And, still with a shout making the top eight.
Absolutely. And, of course, then the Saturday night game in Auckland. And I have to say, the only word I can say, the Blues 36, the Hurricanes 25, Mark Talia, he was sensational, Patrick. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of talk about him, pressure on him making the All Blacks. Well, I believe he'd be in my starting lineup at the moment, or he would definitely be in the squad.
Yeah, look, I think so. He's a guy who took me by surprise last year when we went on that Northern tour. Remember, Will Jordan went home, or he wasn't included, I think, because of the migraine issues that he had. But Talia, he's a guy who doesn't seem to feel a lot of pressure, or that's the appearance he gives off. But he just, he delivers, and he's so consistent, and he's so dangerous in broken play. He'd be one of the best broken play runners in the competition, if not the world at the moment, I think, given the form he's in. And the four tries he had, I can't remember any that were easy. He sort of had to make them all out of nothing, and that is a special bit of X factor that you just can't replicate. And it's going to be so important for the Blues. I don't think they were great against the Hurricanes. I think, they were probably a little bit fortunate that the Hurricanes missed so many kicks at goal, because, you know, Jordy Barrett had a real off night, and then Brett Cameron missed a fairly easy conversion as well. So, Talia, I mean, what a story he is. And, I agree with you. He's probably incumbent right wing. For the All Blacks at the moment.
Well, if he's not on the right, you'd be definitely looking at him on the left, depending on where they play Will Jordan, or whether Will Jordan will be in the starting 15, whether he's at fullback or on the wing. But to me, Jordy Barrett, really shocker. They left 21 points out there, the Hurricanes did, probably 23 if you look at Brent Cameron's miss. Absolute shocker. Really impressed with Pat Tuipulotu. Good leadership by Patrick.
Yeah, and the Blues are missing Dalton Papali'i, of course, still serving that ban for that high tackle on Richie Moonga in Christchurch a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, they need guys like Paddy T to stand up, and he's doing that. Look, he's the guy who's always had great potential given his size and power, but I don't think he's ever really sort of delivered on that. But he's there or thereabouts, and he's doing a good job for the Blues. He's a fairly quiet guy, but he is just, you know, he backs things up on the field. And I guess his actions speak louder than his words. And so, yeah, the Blues are definitely in the mix. But I still think, I know we're going to touch on them in a minute, but I still think it's the Teeston Crusaders are probably going to battle it out in the competition showpiece.
You did right there, Patrick. And, of course, I watched that late Saturday night game. The Chiefs 31, the Brumbies 21. But Luke Jacobson, somewhat of the forgotten man of New Zealand rugby. D-Mac does what D-Mac always does. It's a great pack the Chiefs have got at the moment. But Alex Nankerville, really good game by him.
Yeah, I guess he took me by surprise a wee bit. He's always been a really good defensive player and great at the breakdown over the ball. But he's never, I don't think, his ball carrying is probably one thing that has not been quite as good as his other elements to his game. But he played really well against the Brumbies in Canberra. And he's definitely in the All Blacks mix, I think. And Nankerville's solid in the midfield, and D-Mac, as you say, he just does what he does. But I think the winning like that, they dominated the Brumbies in Canberra.
Absolutely,
and that's not
yeah.
easy.
Yep.
That's really not easy this time of year. And the Brumbies have a lot to play for as well. And they just look second best. I think the scoreboard flattered them, but they got a converted try in the last minute.
Mm.
So, the Chiefs are looking good. They're very well drilled. They are very hard to beat at home in Hamilton. They won't care what sort of conditions it is because I think they're a pretty good wet weather team as well as a dry weather team. So, yeah, they're looking pretty good, I've got to be honest.
And, of course, the Rebels 52 bet the Force 14, didn't see that match coming. So the interest will be coming around. Like, obviously, you know, you look at games of the weekend, I would say the game to probably watch would be that Crusaders-Hurricanes game because I'm suspecting that's...
So.
Robinson will probably rest quite a few players and the Hurricanes will be really trying to get in for a decent place in their playoffs.
I don't think Razor will rest that many. I think he hinted after that the weekend's victory over the Waratahs that he wants to, you know, keep the momentum up, and I think that's the right way to go about it because they can't afford any slip-ups. They probably will finish second. And thereby potentially qualifying for a home semi, but you just can't let the foot off the throttle. And I think that's really Jason Holland's decision to rest so many players against the Chiefs. I think at the time I thought it was a bad decision. I think he should have done that a week earlier against Moana Pacifica when they won by about 70 points. And that was a close match against the Chiefs. They could have got something out of that. So the whole complexion of the Hurricane season could be very different. So it's all to play for, yes, but I think, you know, there could be an element of regret about that decision by Holland to rest so many players.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, thank you so much. It was great having you on here, coming in for AJ off the bench. Had to say a very admirable replacement and hope to be using you during the year. You know my number now and you can completely ignore it if you want to. But no, really, no, really good, Pat. Yep.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Always a pleasure. It's always great having you on, too. That was Pat McKendry. Fantastic. What a great analyst of the game he is. Anyway, next up I've got Frank Endicott, and then so I'll just get a bit of music on, and then we get Big Frank on.
Like beta.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, proudly brought to you by Green Security. Well, a shortened week of NRL because of State of Origin coming up, but there were still some games to play, and joining us, as he always does every Monday, giving us the lowdown on rugby league, former Kiwi coach Frank Endicott. Frank, welcome to the show, mate.
Yes, good afternoon, Amon. Good to be on again, mate.
It is always great to have you on. Well, we might as well rip into it. Well, the Warriors travelled down to Napier to play the Broncos, and what I would say, it was quite an exciting game, maybe an opportunity lost for the Warriors, and we're not going to blame it on that last try. I personally don't believe it. Adam Pompey needed to do it. But the Broncos 26, the Warriors 22. Some of my thoughts were the combination of Reynolds and Mann were fantastic. But Wendell Saylor's boy, Tristram, geez, he was good.
He was, mate. And, I would sum it up as really from the Warriors' point of view as the one that got away. They had plenty of opportunities to win the game. Watanabe Lesniak, what did he have? Three disallowed tries before he actually scored one. That could have been scored. They would have been good tries, but they could have been scored and should have been. But I think you can blame it on the Warriors' low percentage completion rate over the whole game that really told the difference in the end. And sure enough, let's not get away from it. They could have won the game with a minute to go. But that was a silly act by Adam Pompey. It wasn't needed, and it actually cost his team in the end.
It certainly did. I don't believe he really needed to do that, because I believe Montoya was going to score that try, and that would have set up a brilliant. If the Warriors would have won that, I would have said go out and buy a lotto ticket for Wednesday, because you may have just dug yourself out of it. But, you know, great crowd there, apart from the Buffets who decided to run on the field. But, to me, that could really, in future, you know, count against New Zealand hosting more NRL games outside of Auckland, for the simple reason is because I personally believe that the NRL should actually have a New Zealand round off in the near future, because I think it would be great for the game here. Anyway, just getting on to the Friday game, the Dolphins 26, the Dragons 12. I'm going to say this right now. If Michael Maguire, which he's probably not listening because he's over in Canberra, but Jermaine Osako, he has to, you know, if you're looking for a recall to the Kiwis, this is the guy that needs to be recalled. He scored a couple of tries again. His goal kicking's brilliant. You know, to me, he would sort out an issue for the Kiwis, especially with that goal kicking issue which they found at the Rugby League World Cup last year.
Well, I can't deny you that comment. It's quite true. He's having his best season ever. In fact, it's a golden season for him. Everything he touches, he either scores a try, kicks the goal. He can't do anything wrong, and he's got to be the player of the year at the Dolphins for sure. And you're right, he has put himself in contention for the Kiwis. Having a great year, and good on him, you know, because he had mixed times at Brisbane Broncos, didn't he? And he's found a club and a niche, and it's getting the best out of him.
He certainly is. And of course, Anthony Milford, he actually had a bloody good game for the Dolphins. He's been picked back in the squad. They put Cody Nikarima back to fullback, but Anthony Milford looked like the player we all knew he was and still is.
Yeah, no doubt about that either. And again, another player that had problems at Brisbane, and he's gone on to better things at the Dolphins. And Nikarima, he's a player that's really, he's dangerous. I mean, every time the ball gets, and he always has been, but he's been inconsistent. He needs to find out where his real position is. He can play in about three positions, but I thought he played very well too. Every time he got the ball, he looked dangerous.
He certainly did. And then we move on to the Eels 24, the Cowboys 16. And I will say this. I watched this game. The Mitch Moses, Dylan Brown combination that's a great combination. And they really came to the fore, even though Cody Walker was trying his best to keep the Rabbitohs in that game. But they were absolute... Even though Kyle Flett was trying to keep them in the game. But, you know, the Eels, probably not that many out with injury and origin, but they're still a threat to the top eight, Frank.
Well, where are they lying? They're lying 13th on the ladder on 12 points. They're only 6 points away from the Panthers at the top, you know, the top team. So I wouldn't count them out of it. In fact, to be honest, this competition's so close that any one of the first 14 teams could win it. That's unbelievable. I've never seen that before at this stage of the year. So, yeah, with those two halves, I wouldn't count them out. They get a couple of their forwards back, and they're gonna knock a lot of good teams off. I don't count the Eels off.
I would not count them out at all. And of course, the Raiders 33, the Rabbitohs 26. Corey Naira Hawera. Real serious concerns about him. Real serious concerns, and I hope that he is okay. But some fantastic games. Jack Whiten, Big Red, he was fantastic. And for the Rabbitohs, Cody Walker, whew, what a game.
Yeah, well, he tried to turn it round, but Canberra were just too good for them on the day. And, you know, when that injury did happen, I thought that the Canberra, you know, shooting their teammate down like that, they could fall away, but it actually galvanised them and brought them back. And I think that what happened in that game with the injury really puts the game in perspective to me.
It certainly does.
At the end of the day, I couldn't care how who won the game. I'm more concerned about how that player is. And I hear he's making good progress. Let's hope that's right. And he comes back again one day. But, yeah, awful to see that. Awful.
Yeah, it's really sad to see that, and it doesn't matter what sport. As soon as you see it, you know, your heart thinks about his family, his family. You know, it's really, you know, and it is only a game at the end of the day. As much as we love it, it's still only a game. Of course, the Knights had a big win, 28-16 over the Seagulls. Really impressed with Bradman Best and Greg Matsu, but Jackson Hastings, I was really impressed with the game he had, Frank.
Yeah, well, he can do that. I mean, Hastings is no fool. He's a good player. But, you know, sometimes his plays work for him and sometimes they don't. But you talk about Bradman Best, a big, strong centre, left centre. But, you know, he had two really good scoring opportunities before he did score that he should have taken. He should have scored both of them, to be honest. He got held up over the line on both occasions, whereas momentum and speed going into that try, he should have scored both. So I've still got a question mark over him. I think he shows good signs, but he's not the complete player just yet. But, you know, you look at the Knights, they're in 12th position on 13 points. I can't see them being in the playoffs, you know, and quite honestly, Manly... They had three or four key players out, but they still should have shown better than that. And well deserved win of the Knights.
I'd have to agree with it. Now we've got State of Origin coming up on Wednesday. Well, I don't know. You know, my head is saying that it's going to be for New South Wales, and I'm a New South Wales supporter, but you just can't write off Queensland. That they bring that passion to State of Origin, Frank.
Well, you write them off at your peril. And, you know, as I think I said last week, I picked the Blues to win, New South Wales to win 3 out of 3, and they got beat 2-1. And that was just the sheer passion of the Queenslanders. Plus, I believe Billy Slater does a great job of them. He's going to be a good coach, Billy. And, you know, he could do the same again this year. I couldn't pick it. You'd have to toss a coin because it could go either way.
you know, all the talent with New South Wales, but you know, many would say you can have all the talent, but if you've got a team of workhorses and heart, you know, that can that sometimes prevails over the talent. And, you know, I think it's a hard one to pick. I'll probably put my head
out.
I'll put it on the line. I think New South Wales will win this, but I think it will go down to the third game. I'm picking it 2-1 to New South Wales, but it's going to be a very close series.
Yeah, I'd mostly go the same as you. I'd go 2-1 with New South Wales also, but you don't play game on paper. Game on paper, and on paper, New South Wales look the better team, but you can't, in state of origin, that doesn't work, as we saw last year. But, yeah, I think I'd stick with it. I'd go New South Wales, 2-1.
Yep, I would say that. Well, we've got next week the Warriors, I've got the Dolphins, and I'm actually at Mount Smart, so I'm actually deciding whether to, I might just go out there. I might just say hello to our old mate, the Butcher, out there, because I think that game's going to be a cracking game out there.
Oh, I think it'll be a beauty. And the second home game for the Warriors in a row. They let last week slip. They got it against the Broncos. They've got to win this one against the Dolphins. If you look at their next four games, they've got the Dolphins at home, which is a winnable game. They've got the Raiders away. I still believe that's winnable. The bye, well, you can't lose the bye, can you?
No.
And then they got the Dragons away. Now, the Dragons are in 17th place and playing dreadful. So, you know, again, if they can win, all those are winnable games. So they've got to make these ones count before they hit the big guns like the Panthers, Sharks, and Storm and Rabbits again. You know.
Yeah, they certainly do. You know, you were saying about the bye, you can't lose the byes. Many Warriors teams in the past have been that bad, Freak, that you can actually see them losing the bye. Anyway, on that note, Freak, it's always great to chat to you. Have a great rest of the week, and hopefully the Warriors can get up, and we'll catch up next week.
Well, let's cross fingers, and we'll talk again next week, hopefully about a win. Thanks, Damon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Frank Endicott, everyone. Well, okay, so next up we're going to flick on a bit of music, and then we're going to get to Noel Barkley. We're going to talk a bit of EPL. We're going to talk about Luton Town. We're going to talk about the New Zealand under-20 team playing at the World Cup. So we'll just rip and get some music on there right now, and we'll just get Noel on the other side. Welcome, everyone, back to the Green Security Sports Review here on Planet FM. I'm going to almost made a wee mistake here as I do all this new machinery. God, I haven't mucked up anything just yet, but I'm likely to. Anyway, we're going to talk. The EPL season is over. The Championship playoffs for the last spot in the Premier League has been decided, and of course our New Zealand under-20s at the under-20s World Cup in Argentina. And here to speak to us is my good mate, former All-White, Noel Barkley. Good afternoon to you, Noel.
Yeah, good afternoon. Great that morning of football. It's great to see all the games on at the same time, so you can actually keep up with what's going on. But I think in the end, it looks like everything, all the business was done, and unfortunately, Leeds and Leicester follow Southampton down, and because Everton were able to get a home win, so good for the Toffees.
It is good for the Toffees. They were probably, they hired Sean Dyson, you know, Sean Dyson, as we all know, was at Burnley for a number of seasons. And of course, he probably knows how to keep a team up. And so, you know, really sad for Leicester. You know, we are talking about, as we said last week, a side that won the FA Cup, that won the Premier League, who made the quarterfinals of the Champions League. You know, very sad to see the decline in that club, Noel.
Yeah, big time. And, the worst thing for them is, I mean, really, they probably let Smith go as a manager, and their team's going to get picked over. Madison and players like that. Vardy's probably at the end, so it doesn't really matter. But they've got players out of contract, so they're going to lose some of those good players, and then they're going to drop down and not find it that easy. And I don't think anybody's crying about Leeds, because they were they've been awful in the last bunch of games. At least Leicester had a bit of a fight, drawn against Newcastle and giving themselves a chance today. But in the end, they just lost too many points throughout the year, and very sad to see them go.
It certainly is, and I was just reading on the BBC website, they were saying they're probably the highest placed side to be relegated with ever since Leeds in the Premier League history. So who knows? But there were some exciting games. Great news for Aston Villa supporters: 2-1 victory over Brighton. That gives them the seventh spot for the Europa Conference League, which means there will be European football coming to Aston Villa.
Yeah, and I think that means that Spurs miss out, if I'm not mistaken, because I think Brighton and so on make it in there. Villa played really well this morning, and they're completely on the front foot against Brighton, who, you know, they've just been playing amazing the last few weeks. So, great result. Could have won more this morning, and... Emery has done he's one of the managers of the season. He took over, I think they were in the bottom three, or one off the bottom, and here they are knocking on Europe, and look, a dynamic team, and looks like they could beat anybody at this point.
They certainly could. When you have a look at it, it's like you'd fear going to Villa, because Villa has done, as we said, they've done Manchester United a favour last week, and of course, you know, Brighton, another really good season for them. You know, these are smaller clubs with smaller budgets, but they're making do with what they have to do.
Yeah, that's right. And that win today, I mean, you could see them at the end. They were just absolutely buzzing, despite Spurs winning at Leeds. And Harry Kane inspired with another couple of goals that they get up. And so, yeah, it's good to see that. I don't know what the Gerrard era was really disappointing for Villa. And Emery only really signed one player, a left-back, and he made all the difference. And, very good to see them up there. And a few surprises this morning. I guess Man City losing to Brentford was a bit sort of manana, but Brentford were well worth it and quite on top of long parts of that game. And maybe City have got their eyes on bigger prizes in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of slightly big ones coming up for them, Noel. So, yeah, but also, so just going through the results, Everton 1, Bournemouth 0, Leicester 2, West Ham 1, Tottenham 4, Leeds 1, Brentford 1, Manchester City 0, Arsenal 5, Wolves 0, Manchester United 2, Fulham 1, Chelsea 1, Newcastle 1, Southampton versus Liverpool, cracker of a game. Felt sorry for Southampton, 4-4 against Liverpool. And of course, Aston Villa 2, Brighton 1, and Forest and Crystal Palace 1. Forest 1, who it's a pretty and very much a nothing game. But you know, you look at it now, everything is now sorted. Then we move on to probably the Championship playoff for the last spot in the Premier League, and of course, Luton one all, and they could not be separated. And then the horrible part, which is ends most games, is penalties. Luton 6-5 on penalties. I felt sorry for that poor guy from Coventry, but Luton, Kenilworth Road. I think there will be surprises, but you know, it's been a brilliant story, Luton.
Yeah,
Absolutely brilliant story.
I'm sure everybody's spotted the pictures of their of some of their openings and then just to their stadium. Yeah. Basically, it's a couple of houses. I mean, it's quite incredible. It is a bit of a fairy tale. I mean, it's funny, the Jim Hagan and Mal Donaghy ex-Larne players that I played with long time ago, yeah. one was at Coventry and one was at Luton, and Mal was a very, very good player at Luton, yeah. And was there a long time. So, yeah, look, I mean, they'll be everybody's favourite to come straight back down again, but you know, you wouldn't want to go there on a cold sort of Wednesday night with it pissing down rain and in the middle of the week, and you'd find it pretty tough, I'd say.
It certainly would be, and of course that will make it very, very interesting. So we move on to the under-20s, and of course when we last spoke we had that 1-0 win over Guatemala, a 2-2 draw against Uzbekistan. They were up 2-0, Ben Wallace and of course Jay Herdman, what a cracking goal that was. It probably will be the goal of the tournament, but you know, 2-2 draw, probably probably regret that. They could have been in a higher position. And then, of course, on Saturday they played Argentina, and, you know, Argentina probably looked like the side, one of the favourites to win it. Lost 5-0, but that Argentinian side was a very, very good side. No one, of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, they were dynamic. I mean, there's a lot of, I've seen a bit of stuff online where people have been giving the New Zealand team and coach a bit of stick, and yeah, you know, it's pretty unfair. I mean, I think that the 2-2 draw against Uzbekistan was probably about fair, really. I mean, because they were under the cosh quite a bit in the second half. And you know, you'd sort of 10-11 minutes extra time. So look, they set themselves up, but they rested some of the players, including Herdman, who was on the booking, and because 4 points usually gets you through, and of course it's done that. And of course they play the USA, who look quite good, but nowhere near the level of Argentina. I mean, Argentina were just straight ahead, and so they should be. You know, it's they're in their home country. There's 25,000 people at the game. And they've got some great talent, and obviously a very, very experienced ex-player, and as a coach. So yeah, look, with an opportunity in a knockout game, anything can happen. They've sort of gone out the last two World Cups at this last 16 stage, and I guess most people would expect them to go out again. But hey, Herdman will come back, and he'll play the best team, and it'll be the best team on the day.
It certainly would, and you know, like, you know, well, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen now, even though it probably favours the USA. But, you know, I've been quite impressed with that under-20 side, Jay Herdman. Now, he's going to head to some big places. I hear he's not that far off from making the MLS, which, you know, people have criticised, but I still believe it's actually quite a good league.
Yeah, but he's also not far off been selected for the full New Zealand team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have thought. And I know we're pretty well served in there at the minute with Bell and Thomas and Stamovic. But you know, he looks every bit the part. Maybe it's too soon, and yeah, he won't want to go from one tournament to a couple of internationals. So look, he's a big player. And then they have good players. I mean, they've got mobility, and that team keeps possession better than teams before them. And there's a bit of class there. I just think they're a little bit light up front in the big games. It's okay to go and beat the Islands 9-0 and so on, but in the big games, somebody who can hold it up, bring the player into the game and so on, that just looks like they're a little bit lacking in that area. But it's nothing new, of course.
It isn't, and we probably, you know, when we look at it, like the talent between Argentina and New Zealand, it's a gulf, and we have to be realistic on it. Well, Noel, I'm hoping that when we contact you on King's Birthday, that we will be celebrating an FA Cup victory for Manchester United.
Yeah, I sincerely hope so. My son was at the game the other night against Chelsea, and he just said Old Trafford was rocking, and they were singing a lot about looking forward to going to Wembley. And it'll be a cracker. I think it's 3 o'clock in the morning, which is not great, but we'll definitely get it out. It could be an amazing day for us, or it could be an absolute, you know, smashing. I think any Man United fans would know that anything's possible. But yeah, we hope and That'll muck up the trouble. I wouldn't worry if they won the Champions League after that, as long as we get to make sure they don't win the trouble.
Absolutely, I wouldn't. As long as we win the FA Cup, and we're looking at it with both eyes. Anyway, Noel, you enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next Monday.
Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Noel. Former All White Noel Barkley. Next up, we have Sean Summerfield. We're going to discuss a bit about the IndyCars and the Monaco Grand Prix, as well as other issues. So I'll just get on a bit of music and get the old Silver Tongue Silver Fox on. Everyone, we're just having a few difficulties getting hold of the old Silver Tongue Silver Fox, so I'll just give it a couple more attempts, so we'll listen to a bit of music and then we might have an early show today. Anyway, well, just let me get back, give him a call.
J'étais pour vous un clown, voilà tout, l'idiot et le fou, tellement fou.
Okay, everyone. Well, unfortunately, my old mate, the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, is actually stuck in a meeting. So, unfortunately, he is trying to get out of it, out of the meeting. That's it. So, I might as well go through what we were going to discuss. Okay, so we're also some of the motorsports results over the weekend. Max Verstappen won the Monaco Grand Prix. Now, the Monaco Grand Prix is really one of the biggest venues, biggest sport F1 races around. And, you know, I love it. You see all the scenery and everything. So he's got a huge lead. IndyCars, looking at that this morning, Josef Newgarden and Marcus Ericsson, really a great clash between them both. And, of course, you know, there were a number of... it was stop start, and of course, poor old Marcus Ericsson wasn't happy at the end. But Josef Newgarden got that. So best place Kiwi was Scott Dixon. He finished sixth, and you know what? It was good effort by Scott. I'm sure if there wasn't any of the stops and starts, he could have been looking at a at a podium place. Looking over the weekend, that also happened. The rugby, obviously, fantastic, you know. Great weekend to rugby. One of the things I really want to get at is the Streakers at Napier. You know, it's all great having a bit of fun, but potentially what should be a great day for a very much storm-ravaged Hawke's Bay ended up being a bit of embarrassment, because it was a huge crowd at Napier. It had some really great atmosphere going, and, you know, and then you have a couple of idiots streaking. You know, that there's talk about them potentially not bringing another game there, and potentially that could actually stop a... That could actually stop a New Zealand round of NRL for the future, because, believe me, the NRL still invest in New Zealand, despite what people say. And so, to me, the NRL, you know, to lose this would be a crying shame, not only for New Zealand people, rugby league fans in New Zealand, but the people of Napier. You know, you imagine the money that came in there, the economic boost that would have come into that area. Really, you know, some idiots have a few too many beers. Can't say I was a bit of a lad once. You know, many will criticise me. There used to be a famous dance down at the Puhoi Tavern. I've since given that up with all the social media apps that go around. But, you know, stupidity, absolute stupidity. And, of course, we spoke briefly with Noel Barkley. Fantastic story of Luton Town FC. And if you do go on YouTube, have a look at that ground, Kenilworth Road. Now, a lot of people will say about Luton, the best thing about Luton is the airport, and I hope there isn't any Luton fans listening. But, you know, a fantastic story. 10 years ago, they got promoted from the Conference League, so they weren't even in the Football League, and gradually built from League 2 to League 1, made the playoffs for the championships last year, and then this year getting promoted. That is a story which could probably eclipse what has actually happened in with the Wrexham story. You know, Wrexham's still a wonderful story, but this is funded by fans. It's funded by, you know, somebody with a lot of... Probably they don't have the budget, and they're probably going to struggle at Premier League, but it is still a wonderful story, because they were on the verge of basically collapsing as a club. So that would be my sporting moment of the weekend. Some other, you know, when we talk about some of the other great sports results that are going around, obviously Ryan Fox and the PGA, Dan Hillier just missing out on a tour on the Challenge League in Europe. So, you know, there's some of the great sporting things that have happened over the weekend. Also, we also look forward to a great weekend of Super Rugby. And I know we probably speak a little bit too much on rugby, so and I do apologise, but, you know, it is common to any New Zealand sports show. I would say to people, get down to Eden Park and you're probably going to see one of New Zealand's greatest halfbacks ever. And, you know, the era of halfbacks I remember, like I'm talking the era I can remember of Sid Going, Dave Trappin-Loveridge, you know, fantastic halfbacks, to the David Kirks, to Justin Marshall, to Perry Whippy. But this guy, I believe, is one of the greats of this era, and probably the greatest halfback for the All Blacks in the professional era. He has been consistent. So I really hope that, you know, he gets a fantastic salute by the Eden Park crowd, because he's created so many great moments for rugby fans in this country on the field. So that's one thing. Also, netball, and I'm just getting to the ANZ Netball Championship, and there was a weekend of ANZ netball scores. And you know, it's been a fantastic weekend. We're coming up to playoffs there, and I'm trying to get a former Silver Fern in there to speak to us about it. But, you know, there's been some it's been a fantastic competition. Some of the scores, like the Northern Stars, some of the Sorry, just having a few problems here, computer problem. The Northern Stars 53 over the Central Pulse. That was a fantastic game, and of course, Northern Stars could be looking good. You know, it could be looking very, very good, and for the ANZ Championships, and that I believe is coming up in Queen's Birthday weekend. So it's an all Auckland final for the ANZ Netball Championships. The Sales Basketball League, now that has been really, really exciting. You know, it's been fantastic to watch, and you know, like, really impressed with the Otago Nuggets and the Canterbury Rams. They've really stepped up in this competition. So you know, I'll just give you some of their results. Just give us a second there. You know, so that's been fantastic, and because basketball really a huge, it's been really huge. So I'm just going to go to what some of the results that have happened, and I'm just trying to get to the latest results. It would really help if the NBL actually updated their list. So the Otago Nuggets are really doing well at the moment. They're doing well. Canterbury Rams, watch out for the Wellington Saints. You know, traditionally a really good side, the Wellington Saints. When you look at the history on there, you know, the first time really basketball really came to this country and really people got the obsession of basketball in New Zealand was watching the Wellington Saints versus North Shore in the which was the NBL final. Of course, Kenny McFadden making that free, the late great Kenny McFadden making that great free pointer. So that they've been interesting. That's always been a passion of mine. I've always loved it. Great rivalry, especially when it comes to the Wellington Saints and the Canterbury Rams going back to the 80s. Let's see what else I can find for you. So I'll play you a bit of music. You probably all will have it nodded off at this stage, so we'll just play a bit of music.
Just don't know that one to try.
Okay, so poor old Sean's trying to get out there in 2 minutes, but we're probably going to call it early today. So I do apologise for those that have had to listen to my rabbiting. I know it's probably got you all to sleep, so I do apologise about it. Just want to thank everyone that has come on today. One being Noel Barkley on football, Frank Endicott on NRL, and of course Pat McKendry. And of course, you know, the show wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't be able to do the show with the help of the sponsorship of Green Security. So you know, they've actually been fantastic sponsors. On that note, I want to wish everyone a good weekend. We will have a show on this Queen's birthday, and hopefully, you know, if I'd have known about it a bit earlier, I might have had a bit of talk back, but then a few of my Elliot mates would have called up and I possibly would be in trouble with the Broadcasting Standards Authority. But not to worry, not to worry at all. Well, I want to wish everyone a great week. Hopefully I'm back next Monday on what we call King's Day or King's Birthday Day. Well, I don't know. There's so many bloody holidays in New Zealand. Who knows? So we'll call it here, and I wish everyone a good week. Goodbye. See you later.